Well, a pleasant evening to you and YouTube land. We're delighted you tuned in tonight and that we can study the Word of God. We recognize that many cannot be at the assembly tonight, but we're thankful that you tuned in and that through this medium we can study. If you have any spiritual needs, we want you to know that we're here to help. If you'll contact one of the elders, Brother Guy McDaniel or myself, we'd be glad to assist you in any way that we can. In the 46th Psalm tonight, I want to read the Psalm in its entirety. Psalm 46, beginning at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who hath made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. It's interesting to go through the Psalms and notice the different emotions of the writers of God. You'll find in one psalm maybe where one is feeling low and down and maybe in despair and they're crying out to God. Then you can turn over and you'll find where another writer is talking about how jubilant they are and praising and glorifying God. When you come to the 46th psalm, you'll find a psalm of praise because God had delivered the people out of the hand of the Assyrians. If you take your Bible, turn with me to 2 Kings for just a moment. And the 19th chapter. And you'll remember that there was a man identified as Sennacherib, who was king of the Assyrians. And he was going to go up against Judah. And Hezekiah was fearful. But you remember that the Lord gave a word of warning to Sennacherib. And when you come down to verse 35 and 36, you'll see where Sennacherib is defeated by the power of God on high. It says in verse 35, it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now then, when you come back to the 46th Psalm and you look at verses 7 and 8, it's as though the psalmist is overlooking the battlefield. Maybe he has a picture in his mind of what that battle was like. But notice one thing, that the writer of God at this time begins to talk about the splintered spears and the charred chariots and the broken bows and the debris that littered the ground and the corpses and the stench of death that was in the air. Here was a place that you would look at and you would see an army that had been utterly destroyed, 185,000 corpses. Have you ever thought about what that must have looked like? And I want you to think about the sight of the battlefield seems to have a voice to the psalmist. Because notice that the psalmist says about God, be still and know that I am God. I like that statement. I like the fact that you can say, I am. Remember, that's what God told Moses he was. Anytime you see the phrase, I am, you'll know that's talking about Jehovah God. But I want us to stop for just a moment and think about that this psalmist does not just say, be still or silent, but he says, be still and know that I am God. Know God. I want to talk about some who stood still and then make application in the lesson journey. I want you to take your Bible for just a moment and turn back to the book of Exodus and the 14th chapter. And when you come to the book of Exodus and the 14th chapter, you'll remember that at this time, the people of God had been set free from Egyptian captivity. This is after the Lord had taken the firstborn in the last of the 10 plagues of the Egyptian people. But then Pharaoh, after his mourning had ceased, he decided to chase the Israelite nation. And here they are at the Red Sea with the wilderness on their side, and they look behind them and they see the dust of the Egyptian army. And they said, "Did you bring us out here to die, Moses?" But you remember what Moses said to him in verse 13. He makes an outstanding statement. Though it looked like they had nowhere to go, it looked like they were defenseless, he said, "Do not be afraid. Stand still," underscore that, "and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." I want you to think about, my friend, that at this time he said, "Stand still." And then notice, if you will, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel, go forward.'" There was a time for them to stand still and to look upon what God is going to do. Then there was a time for them to move and be active. And you remember, God parted the Red Sea, and they crossed over. And when the Egyptian army came to the Red Sea, God closed the waters and drowned the Egyptians. Have you ever thought about what that must have looked like? In your Bible, it talked about that they could see the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Well, who caused that? God did. And I want you to think about, he said, "Stand still and see the salvation of God." There comes a time that you and I need to stand still and know the power of God. Secondly, take your Bible and turn to 1 Kings in the 19th chapter. You'll remember that Elijah is on the run. Ahab and Jezebel want to kill him because he had defeated the prophets of Baal in that contest on Mount Carmel, where God had devoured the sacrifice that was up on the altar with fire. But the prophets of Baal could not do anything. And you'll remember that Elijah had killed the prophets of Baal, and now Jezebel wants him dead, and he escapes into the wilderness. And first he's just physically exhausted, and God prepares for him through an angel food and water. But in your Bible, if you will, look in 1 Kings 19, and notice there comes a time that Elijah is feeling sorry about the state he's in. He says that he alone has remained faithful. And look at what God does. In your Bible, notice in verse 11, he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice." And notice what that voice said. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know, Elijah, you need to be about the work. And Elijah says, "Look, I've been zealous, but I alone am left." And God said, "I want you to understand, there's still 7,000 who've not bowed their knee to Baal." You know, sometimes we get overwhelmed in life, and we think we're all alone. We feel like no one else is taking a stand. We feel like no one else will do what's right. Sometimes we feel like we're the only one who's trying to please God. But I'll tell you, my friend, there are multitudes we don't know about. And one thing we need to learn to do is stand still and learn to go to God. We need to know God spiritually. That in John 4, Jesus said that God is a spirit and we worship him in spirit and truth. Our fellowship is a spiritual fellowship. And we need to stand still and know God. But I want you to think about Jesus for just a moment. If ever there was a shining example, it would be Jesus. In your Bible, in the book of Matthew, in the 14th chapter, you remember Jesus had sent the disciples out onto the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says in verse 23, he sent the multitude away, and he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Underscore that. Now, when evening came, he was alone there. Have you ever thought about the times that Jesus was alone with God, alone with the Father? That there was times of stillness where he could be alone and pray. The reason he knew the Father so well is he talked to the Father. He prayed to the Father. He let God know every emotion he had. He was one to be in fellowship with the Father through prayer. But then if you take your Bible, have you ever thought about Paul? Have you ever thought about, here was a man in the Roman prisons, And have you ever thought about in 2 Timothy 4 when he's in prison in verse 13, he tells Timothy, bring the books. Bring the parchments. He wants to study the Word of God. He wants to meditate on God's Word. He was a man who was chained to Roman soldiers, but he felt alone. And he said, I tell you, Timothy, I want you to bring the parchments so that I can study. I'll tell you, even to the end, he wanted to study the Word of God. And I'll tell you, that is a powerful statement. Be still and know God. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson series. Amongst all the chaos in this world, amongst all that we're facing with pandemics and problems in the nation, you see so much on television that just can make you feel torn to heart. But amongst all the chaos, you know what we need to learn to do is just for a moment, be still. And remember, God is still on his throne. We need to remember, as the psalmist said in Psalm 46, God is our refuge. God is our stronghold. God is the one who can deliver us. And if he does not even deliver us from problems in our nation and problems in our personal life, he delivers us from sin, he delivers us from the bondage of death, and he gives us hope of eternal life. We need to be still and remember the God we serve. That's why on the first day of the week it's so important to take the Lord's Supper. We need to be people who are reminded of what God did for our salvation. Secondly, we need to learn to meditate on God's Word. You know, one thing I'm fearful of in our day and time, we don't open the book as much as we should. But to know about God, we need to know what His Word says so that we can meditate and think and dwell and be still and know God. Thirdly, we need to pray. Oh, I'll tell you, that's something in our nation. We need to be praying for our nation, but I'll tell you what we need to be praying for. Souls! There are people out here who are lost, who are losing their soul. Their soul, if they were to die, would be lost forever. And we need to be praying that this nation change. But I'll tell you, we need to be praying for individuals that they change. And it starts with one. Sometimes we're good at sitting back and talking about what the problem is and complaining, but we're not good about praying and being still and talking to God about it. I'll tell you what I believe. We need less of man's wisdom and to know more of God's wisdom, because man's wisdom compared to God is nothing. And we need to be still. I want you to think of four things that we need to be still and know about. First of all, we need to be still and know the love of God. What is it that John 3:16 says? That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What love God demonstrated. What love God showed to give his only begotten Son. Be still and see the love of God. Secondly, see the goodness and severity of God. In Romans 11:22, he said, behold the goodness and severity of God. We need to see how good God has been to us, but we also need to see how severe God will be to those who turn away from him and reject him. That God is not going to save everybody, but God will save those who know him and those who obey him and those who trust him. You'll find that in 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning about verse 7 down through verse 9 and 10. We need to be still and know God. We need to know the goodness of God, but we also need to know the severity of God. Thirdly, we need to remember the sacrifice of God. When we talked about the love, we saw that he gave his only begotten Son. But have you ever touched the hem of the garment to that? In your own private study tonight, my hope is that you'll read Romans 5, verses 6 through 11, and just meditate on that, and be still, and see the sacrifice that God gave so that we can be reconciled to him. He allowed his Son to die so that we would no longer be separated from him spiritually, that through the blood of his Son, we can be reconciled and made whole and right with the Father. Be still and know God. But I'll tell you something else. We need to be still and see the hope God gives us. Oh, take your Bible and turn with me to two passages as we close. Look in the Roman letter and the fifth chapter. In Romans chapter 5, and I've asked you to read verses 6 through 11, but look at verse 4. He says, now hope, or verse 5, excuse me, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope. Now what hope? Well, look in your Bible in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, look at what Paul said in verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. You know what we need to do? Be still and think about heaven. That God has given us a way where we can spend eternity with Him. Though we've done so many things that have been contrary to His will, God has demonstrated His love, shown His love, and done all that is necessary through the sacrifice of His Son so we can be reconciled to it. You know what we need to do is put down the phone, put down the iPad, put down all those things, take our Bible, and be still for a moment, and just read a verse or two, and meditate on it, and think about it. And then we need to pour our heart out to God, and remember that God is still on His throne. Never forget, one day we'll stand before God. And I'll tell you something, that day will be the verdict of you can enter into the joy of heaven or depart from me, I never knew you. That will be the most important thing, is to be ready to meet God. How do I do that? By being still and knowing who He is and then being willing to tell others about Him. Because I'll tell you, my friend, the more you know about Him, the more you love Him and you want to tell others. Let us pray. Our Father, at this time, let us be still for a moment. Just pour our hearts out to You. Thank You for loving us and caring for us. Thank You so much for Jesus who died for our sins, and that through Him we can have reconciliation, that through Him we can have access to You, that He is our high priest. He knows what we go through. And Father, we realize You are our refuge. You are our stronghold. And Lord, we put our faith and trust in You. Help us when our faith is weak. Help us to build up our trust by studying about You and pouring our heart out to You and learning of You and meditating on You. And Father, help us so much, Father, to be more like Jesus. And let us never be ashamed to tell others about Him. Father, in the day of chaos, in the day of being overwhelmed, may we learn to be still and lift up our eyes to Thee. It's in the name of Your Son we pray. Amen.